children. Traveling through this world below, going to a better country, where the chilling wind doth blow.
About you, but that is outstanding. The Milliken family, wonderful, holiness, godly Pentecostal people. They love the Lord, and they sing like they love Him. I like that song, Mansion Over in Glory. Mansion Over in Glory. Oh, they're going to be with us one of these days soon. Jesus tarries. They are really wonderful. And that music, wow, that is outstanding. I hope it blessed you like it did me. And the message today, I am excited about this message. How to know that you will miss the Great Tribulation. How to know that you will miss the Great Tribulation. Now, you got to hear this sermon, because there's a multitude out there in churches all over this country, and many of them Pentecostal churches, even holiness churches. They're not ready for the rapture. They're so undecided and unstable and double-minded, wandering around. And that's really what is going to make many people miss that rapture, is double-mindedness. They've never made up their mind. They've never met Jesus in a way that they choose Him in abandonment and surrender and total dedication. When you are totally dedicated to Christ and you belong to Him, you don't have nothing to worry about, friend. You're going to go in that rapture. I'm telling you right now, if you're His property, He's going to take you with Him. Just that simple. Father, I pray today, make yourself mighty. Let this be the greatest broadcast we've ever put on the internet. Let it touch so many lives that it will be an unending blessing. And it will be sent by those who listen all over the globe, every which way. Everybody they know, that they may get ready for this rapture. We can't afford to miss this rapture. To enter into that 7-year tribulation period will be hell on earth, Father. And I don't want nobody I know, and even those I don't know, to miss this rapture. I cry out, Father. I cry out with all my heart, Father. I cry out with all this in me, Father. Grant that those who listen today and who hear in days to come, this sermon will be changed and transformed and become ready, surrendered, dedicated to go in that rapture. In Jesus' name, Father. Oh, what a joy, friend. What a joy to bring you this broadcast over internet. I hope it blesses you as much as it's blessing me right now. I mean, right now, it's blessing me. And I love it. I love His good favor. I love His blessing. And I love to be a blessing to you. I really do. I'm preaching now on how to know you will miss the great tribulation. How to know that you will miss the great tribulation. There are multitudes out there that do not know that they're going to miss this great tribulation. They're just not ready. They're just not ready. And I pray by the grace of God that you will get yourself ready and that you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're ready to go with Jesus when He comes. It's going to be a great moment. I'm here to tell you, it's going to be a great moment, and you do not want to miss the coming of the Lord. You do not want to miss it. Don't miss the broadcast Saturday. It's going to be good. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. Let's go to the sanctuary. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Let's hear the word of the Lord.
How to know you will miss the great tribulation. How to know you will miss the great tribulation. Could I see the hands? And this is not an easy question, not a hard question. How many intend to miss the great tribulation? You do not intend to be here. Could I see your hand? You do not intend to be here. Well, I'm going to tell you, probably 3/4 of the church world who thinks they are ready are not ready. How many believe that? We took a vote Wednesday night. And the vote came out, 3% of the church world as a whole is maybe ready for the rapture. The majority are not. And so please don't miss a word. Matthew 24, this is one of the grandest texts in the Bible. I remember it from my first being saved 59 years ago. I mean, the Baptist, the Church of God, the holiness, the whole holiness, and the whole fundamental, really. Any church that was fundamental. Baptist, Methodist, some of them back then were fundamental. You know, they believed and they loved this passage of Scripture. And you cut on a radio and you'd hear somebody singing about Matthew 24. How many remember the song about Matthew 24? Anybody here remember that song? You remember it. Two of us, three of us. I remember it. On secular radio. Secular radio. They'd sing it, wouldn't they not? Matthew 24. Because it was the great hope of the church. Let me read to you. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal. The one shall be taken and the other left. Then Jesus said, watch, therefore. Watch. Watch why? Because one's going to be taken and one's going to be left. One's going to be in the field to go up. One's going to be left in the field to labor. One's going to be in the house cleaning, making bread, cooking lunch, dinner. One's going to be taken and the other left. Watch. Watch. Because you know that some are going and some are not going. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Does that shatter you? Does that move you? Does that maybe bring a little fear of God upon you? Are you on one side or the other? Now, I wish I could read a great big long text, but the music has been so wonderful. So let me just read a verse in Matthew 25. The story of the 10 virgins, you know it. I don't have to read it. But verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. And the door was shut. Now, it's very clear that God shut that door. When the five wise virgins had gone into the marriage, there's not but one marriage to come. There's no way to put that somewhere else as the world and the church is trying to do today. All the church world is just doubting Matthew 24 and 25. Don't apply to the rapture. I'll put this on the internet this week, and you look and follow the post that comes in after it, and there'll be one after the other. That don't apply to the church. Who does it apply to? The most foolish thing I could ever think of would be to deny that he's talking to the bride, the church. Father, help me this morning. I'm really dependent on you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. How to know you will miss the great tribulation. Now, I'm doing a study on Revelation, on the tribulation, on Open Bible Dialogue. And if you're not listening, you really ought to. We've been studying on Wednesday night some of the aspects of it here in the sanctuary. And it's been so powerful. It really has been powerful. Shattering. It'll shake you. You begin to study what's going to happen in those 7 years, and you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. The devil is going to be turned loose on this earth. He's going to produce an antichrist and a false prophet. The three of them will be the unholy trinity. And this earth is going to be a dark place for 7 years. And you don't want to be here. How do you know you're going to miss it? How do you know you're going to go in that rapture when Jesus comes? Well, the Holy Ghost has really been talking to me, because I cried out to Him for Him to talk to me. And let me feel some things that I need to say, that I need to bring to you, that you need to hear, and I need to hear, and the world needs to hear, about who's going to go in that rapture. Who is going in that rapture? Everybody member of the church, you know better than that. Everybody who claims Christ, you know better than that. Everybody that's a little religious, you know better than that. Everybody sings in the choir, and that's not putting down the choir. Everybody that does preaching. But let me tell you, while the Holy Ghost told me people were falling and some preachers were caving in, the Holy Ghost told me they were caving in because something was wrong. Something behind the scene had gone weary, gone off the track. And God is shaking everything that can be shaken, so that when the shaking is over, God can send a revival to the remnant of God's people. We need a Holy Ghost revival. And a church with all kinds of junk going on in its circles, and preachers doing all kinds of funny things, and church people living careless and shabby. He can't give revival to that. He can only give revival where our church has been cleansed and purified, and He's purifying us. He's cleansing us. He's trying to get us ready for a sovereign move of the sweet power of the Holy Ghost. Now, the first point I want to make real clear, and I want you to hear this. The Lord does not intend for His bride to suffer the 7-year tribulation period. God has made arrangements. God has given prophetic truths all the way back to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Examples and types that make us know that the righteous are not going to be judged with the wicked in that dark 7 years. That God has a plan for those that are His. The bride of Christ is a chosen company. The bride of Christ are chosen, set apart, called out, set in authority, given responsibility, called to be His people, that He can come and get them before that tribulation period begins. Oh, I'm a pre-tribulation person. I believe that rapture will take place before the 7 years begin. I believe that rapture will take place before the 7 years begin. You don't want to miss that rapture. You don't want to miss that rapture. Nothing in this world is worth missing that rapture for. Oh, Christian, hallelujah. Nothing. Nothing the devil's got. Nothing the world's got. Nothing your neighbor's got. Nothing your family's got. Nothing anybody's got is worth missing that glorious rapture and going with Jesus before that 7-year tribulation period begins. Nothing. Now, I could take you to so many scriptures. Jesus said so clear in St. John 14, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. What a promise. St. John 14. I'll go to Acts chapter 1. Jesus is on the Mount of Olives. He's about to ascend. He does ascend after giving them a promise and a command. And they stand looking. Watching up into the sky, Jesus is disappearing in the clouds. Angels showed up. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have seen taken away shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go. Acts chapter 1, no doubt about it. He said, I'm preparing a place for you. I'm coming to get you. The angel said He's coming. Just like you watched Him go, you're going to see Him coming back again. They didn't see Him, but we may be, whoa, the ones to see Him. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, church, listen to me. Listen to me. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Every day I hear some more news, and I think this could be the day. This could be the day. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for Him every day. I walked in the store yesterday, and I said to the people in the store, I'm looking for Jesus today. And the manager said, today? Is He coming today? I said, I don't know He's coming today. I'm just looking for Him every day. I'm looking for Him every day, every moment. I'm watching for Him. I was full of people, and boy, did I have a good time talking. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are any of y'all ready? Nobody in there was ready. They were smiling that they understood what I was saying, but they wasn't ready. We got a world that can smile when they're not even ready. The world has so captured their heart and captured their mind. One verse just to seal this idea that He's coming for His own. He's not going to leave us. Go to Revelation 3 and 10. Revelation 3 and 10. Make sure you get this now. I want you to read it with me. Revelation 3 and 10. We must understand He is coming for His own. He is coming for His own. And here's what Jesus said. Because Thou hast kept the word of my patience. Oh, notice that. Listen to that, Brother Mark. Listen to that, Brother Ken. Brother Jim. Because Thou hast kept the word of my patience. It takes patience to live right today. It takes patience to be faithful to a mark of utter abandonment. It takes faithful to be utterly given to Him until He's the center of your life. until He is your strength, until the world around you coming at you and just yearning for your favor and for your attention and for your devotion. The world wants your attention today. There has never been a world vying for the attention of God's people like the world is vying for our attention today. The world is reaching for us in every magazine, almost every internet program, everything you learn in public school, in college, everything you see out in the world, they're reaching for you. The world wants your attention. And it takes a patience that's from heaven that says, no way, world, I'm living for Christ. I belong to the Lord. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee. What? From the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. There's a Bible commentary that says Jesus is only going to send the Antichrist on the revived nation of Rome. And the rest of the world will not see the Antichrist or be forced to take marks of the beast. And this commentary is so bad wrong because it denies that the book of Revelation is written to the whole world. The book of Revelation isn't just written to the Roman Empire revived. The book of Revelation is written to the church world. Paul, the Lord said to John, you write this down and send it to the church. Send it to the church. It belongs to the church. And the promise is, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the whole world. Listen to what he says. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Man, you could stay right there and preach. You could stay right there and preach. It's the Lord's promise. It's the Lord's commitment. It's the Lord's word. He doesn't want you to be tried in that tribulation. He's going to keep you if you'll be patient and keep Him. How many of you can be patient in this dark hour? How many of you can stand tall in the midst of every kind of thing imaginable? How many of you can hold on to Jesus when the devil vies for your devotion and your attention? How many of you can say no to the world and no to the flesh and no to the people around you? There's enough people out there griping and finding fault with God's church and God's kingdom to turn anybody away if they listen. But I'm not listening. Hallelujah. I'm not listening. Somebody called me the other day and said, Brother Chambers, please don't ever change. I said, what are you talking about, man? I don't know nothing else. I never did study the crazy ways of Buddha. I never did study the crazy ways of the liberal church world. All I've ever studied is the Bible. I just live in the Bible. Hallelujah. And He says He's coming after those who keep His word of patience. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah with me. Now, I want to try to give you some things that will help you. Understanding why the multitude's going to be left behind. Understanding why much of the church world. Go back to Matthew 25. Five of the virgins were what? Wise. But five were foolish. And I got to thinking and studying that word foolish. And I asked the Holy Ghost to show me what the word foolish really means. You know what He said? The Holy Ghost said it means unstable. It means people double-minded. People who have no abandonment. People who just drift. They just do things on the spur of the moment. We got people in this church. All's got to happen to you on Sunday morning is somebody in your family to call you and say, hey, we're going to do thus and thus today. Could you just come be with us? No, I can't. I'm going to church. But instead of saying that, what do some people say? Well, I guess I need to be with my family. No, you don't need to be with your family on Sunday morning at church time. Am I preaching all right? Am I listening to me? Let me see your hand if you're listening to me. Are you listening to me? We're talking about double-minded. That's what foolish means. It means you got a mind that shifts. A mind that moves with the tide of time. The mind that moves with the gripes and complaints of your friends. A mind that's not sturdy, that's not settled, that's not stable, that's not committed. And that's much of the church world. Much of the church world is double-minded. They don't know which way they're going. They don't know where they intend to be. They don't know what's happening. They're just not abandoned. Oh, he said, the foolish virgins. Oh, they were virgins, all right. They looked the part, but they were unstable. They were foolish. And the door was shut in their face. Can you believe that? The door was shut in their face. As they returned from the cellars with the oil in the vessel, it was too late. It was too late. Oh, this morning, I'm here to preach. If God has laid anything on my heart, it is to tell every member of this family, everybody sitting in this house, and those who are not here even, I will do my best to send them. And that's what I want us to do, Sister Judy. Everybody, part of this church family that come even occasionally, I want to send them a copy of this sermon. Because we've got an unstable world, and it's invaded every church, not just this church with him. When Jimmy Swagger fell to his depraved way of pornography, I didn't give up. I just set myself like a flint and said, I'm serving God. I don't care what the world does. Well, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to be stable. You got to be single-minded. Now, I know my time is going fast. I want to deal with this double-minded thing. Go with me to James. It really is important that we hear this deeply, because I believe that's the crux of my sermon today. The crux of my sermon is he's not coming for double-minded people. He's not coming for people who are unstable. The church life is unstable. The church attendance and labor in the house of God is unstable. The whole life is just kind of it's selfish, really. It's what I want. It's what pleases me. It's what makes me happy. What makes my friends happy. What makes this person, that person. No, no, no. Listen to me. It's what makes Jesus happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I feel a little bit of queriness in the place. I bind it in Jesus' name. Because I know what I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you, if you are unstable in any degree, any little bit sense of degree, listen to what James said. He said, but let him ask in faith, not in wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Oh, that moves me. Moves me. Driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. How many will read that verse out loud with me? A double-minded, say person, man or woman, is unstable in all their ways. Now, I ask you to listen. Think about your life. Think about your devotion. Think about your faithfulness in the things of God. Think about your abandonment to Jesus Christ and all His kingdom. Think about your labor, your gifts, what He's called you to be and to do. Think about what you know is God's will for your life. And ask yourself, how have I been in the previous months or years that I've been a Christian? Have I had moments when I was unstable? Have I had moments when I almost fell by the wayside? Have I had moments when I forgot my abandonment to Jesus? Well, yeah. Think about it. I want you to make the conclusion. The Holy Ghost has made me know I can't tell people when they're ready or not ready. You won't believe the calls I get from people, emails. Tell me, am I really ready or not? I can't tell you that. That's not something any preacher can tell you. I can have some good guesses when people are not ready. And I can have some good believing when people I seem to think are ready. But the ultimate, you've got to decide. Work out your own salvation. with fear and trembling. Oh, God, we got to stop there a minute. Oh, somebody help me preach, will you? Will you help me? Could I get you, everybody in this building, to just tremble a little bit and think about where you are? Could I get you to so fear God that you're willing to question where you are? There are people right in here. You're not ready. I know from the Holy Ghost. There's people listening to me who are not ready. And if the rapture would take place, tomorrow would be the most damnable, the most terrible, the most awesome, the most fearful day you've ever had. You'd wake up in the morning knowing the church is gone, knowing Brother Chambers is gone, knowing Sister Chambers, and we could name others in this building, knowing they are gone. And you would wake up and you would tremble and there would be this most awesome feeling of desperation. What can I do? Oh. Now you got to make up your mind that you're going to so abandon yourself to Christ. You're going to make Him so center in your heart. You can make His kingdom, such as were saved, was added to the church daily. We live in a day when people will criticize the church. The church, people tell you, I'm ready for the rapture, and they don't know what the inside of the church looks like. It's been so long. I don't have to go to church to go in the rapture. Well, you wait till you try. You just wait till you stand there hearing the trumpet sound and watching people disappear up into the sky and nothing happens to you. Oh, that's going to be a dreadful moment. Oh, that's going to be... Am I all right? Am I okay this morning? Am I preaching okay? Raise your hand if I'm preaching okay. Listen to me, church. I love you. The church world is so careless. Careless. He said to me years ago, he's not coming after the Sunday morning crowd. He's coming after the Wednesday night crowd. Ooh. I know. I'm getting on nervous ground here. It's all right. I know what the Holy Ghost has said to me. He's coming. And what he was really saying, I'm coming to people who are abandoned. There are times when anybody would possibly have to miss Wednesday night. I understand that. Jobs and many things. But I want to tell you something. Don't let it be careless. And don't let it be without your utter abandonment to the glory and the majesty of the Lord God. Oh, church, He's about to come. Hallelujah. And He said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You go home and read Matthew chapter 25 and those verses. And you see what you can figure a foolish person is. And you'll come to the conclusion I bring you this morning. And that is unstable, non-committed, careless. I mean, to go looking for the bridegroom with no oil in their vessel. Careless. Unstable. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to go farther. There's so much about the coming of the Lord that's so exciting until it's overwhelming. Perfect assurance. Perfect assurance, as I conclude this morning. Perfect assurance. You can have it right now, this morning. Perfect assurance. I'm ready to go. Now, if you're not faithful, I'm not going to let you have it under me. You may find somebody else let you have it under you, but I'm not. If you're not utterly abandoned to Christ, nothing matters with my life but Jesus. My wife called me this morning. She said, Dad, you didn't bring your coffee. And you didn't pick up your money off the table for your tithes and offerings. Do you want me to preach for you also? That's what she said to me. I said, honey, the reason I forgot all the rest was because all I was thinking about was preaching. Hallelujah. All I was thinking about was this sermon. Because I want you to know, I've been shaking in my boots. I've been scared. I've been afraid. I've been frustrated. At what I know is true in the whole church world. And I know how completely the church world has forsaken that old abandonment that used to characterize us holiness people. We holiness people used to be God's best, Brother Jim. We used to be God's most devoted. You know what they used to say about us? Those holiness people go in the rapture and they'll go to heaven if they don't go past it. Did you hear what I said? If they don't go past it, because we were so on fire. We were so devoted. We were so full of the Holy Ghost. We were so dedicated to the kingdom of God. We'd preach on the street corner. We'd preach in the service station. We couldn't go anywhere. We wasn't witnessing and talking about Jesus. He was the center of our lives. We didn't spend our evenings watching television. We spent them in the Bible, on our knees, praying and seeking God. And when we went to church, you could hardly hold them. I stand up here and try my best to get some of you to worship. You know why I have to beg you to worship? Because you ain't been worshiping all week. Because your week's life has been spent with every kind of thing imaginable beside God. You can play games. You can do all kinds of things. You can make money. You can get on the phone. You can watch television. You can go on the internet. You can search and you can do all kinds of... But are you on fire for God? The on fire crowd is leaving here. Just like that. In a moment, we're going to be gone. Now I'm closing. 30 minutes, that's pretty good for me to keep it that length. But I love you. I'm your shepherd. I've been weeping for you. I can't sleep some nights because I know the church world has become so casual. And I know the lack of stability in our devotion, in our faithfulness, in our dedication. I want you to go. How many are determined? You've got to go in that rapture. Would you stand up? You're determined. You've got to go in that rapture. You are determined that you're going to start this morning and you're going to start making deeper preparation to make sure you go. Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. Come on. Help me. Raise it high. I see some of you not even raising your hand. Are you determined? I'm looking over there at you. Keep your mind on what we're preaching. Are you listening? Are you really ready for that rapture? Are you carelessly doing what you please to do? Are you violating truths of the Bible and you know you're violating them? Are you being careless in your prayer life? Do you come to church on Sunday morning half-baked, half-prepared? Are you so busy on Saturday night that you can hardly get up on Sunday morning? Or do you prepare yourself Saturday to be ready for church on Sunday? Oh, Brother Chambers, you're really getting down. You're meddling, yeah. But the Holy Ghost told me to meddle. The Holy Ghost told me to meddle. I want you. I love you. I love every one of you. I love every one of you. Somebody in this building, God wants to get you ready this morning. I'm coming, Brother Chambers. I'm going to get ready this morning. I've got to go in that rapture. I've got to go with Jesus when He comes. Raise your hand high if you really mean that. I've got to go with Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing.
Standing outside the porch hall. Standing outside. Deny,
standing,
knowing that with the demons,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
ever you shall love.
Wow, that song is right down there.
Never to share the beauty.
Listen, listen, church.
Waiting the sanctity. Oh, what an awful
imagine? Can you imagine the great God come, Jesus, and you watch the saints disappear with the door shut? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you like to know you're ready? Leave your seat and come and stand. Saved or unsaved, come and stand right close to this altar. I make up my mind this morning, I'm going to go with Jesus when He comes. I'm going to go with Jesus when He comes. I'm going to go with Jesus. Standing outside
the portal.
Oh, hallelujah!
Knowing that with the demons,
we shall never abide.
Ever he shall abide.
That song's awesome, Gina.
Never to share the beating.
Jim, church, I've preached with all my heart. How many believe I've obeyed the Holy Ghost this morning? Would you slip a hand up? With all that's in me, I am so shaken. I went to hear a preacher this week that was a holiness preacher for years, and he had turned so utterly charismatic, it made me sick on my stomach. I couldn't believe what had happened. How? Right here on the verge of the trumpet sound. Look at people. You know them and I know them. God dealt with them. God moved them. God saved them when they was about to die. But you can't get them committed. Two ladies that sit right here on my right. They've been unstable for so many years. They get shook up, come to church. 2 weeks' time. They're out of it again. What in the world is wrong? Does anybody feel this but me? If you feel it, let me see you. It scares me to my soul. Family members, daddies, mothers, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. Brother Curtis came to our house last night. He said, "Papa, I'm so concerned."